Our lesson today is taken from the fourth chapter of Matthew's, and it's entitled, Jesus Was Tempted by Satan. After what Terry read in the devotional and background study, after Jesus was baptized, and before he really started his ministry, we find that our lesson takes up at that point in time when he was tempted by Satan. And so the first verse of the fourth chapter of Matthew says, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, before I read any further, we find out a little more information in the fourth chapter of Luke, and the second verse, where it says that being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, so that's telling me that it wasn't just after this 40 days that Satan tempted Jesus. The temptation went through all of that time as Jesus was fasting. So what we only get is about three of the things that that Jesus was tempted of. No telling what it was that Satan had placed before him, before that time. And so it says that when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, I want to add something right here before I go any further. Ordinarily, you would not think that Satan would even think that he had the power to tempt Jesus. Now, this is just my thought process here. Because of who he was. Now, Satan knew who he was. But the difference here is, what I believe, is Satan knew him in his heavenly body. When he was in heaven, now, Satan was an angel. And of course, he's a fallen angel, and I'm not really going to get into all of that, where he was cast out of heaven, but we all know that. And he was angry at God. Now, what Satan, I believe, had not come up against is this human nature that Jesus now appeared in. He appeared in a human form. And my own personal feeling is I don't think Satan was exactly sure what this meant. And I think that Satan thought in his mind, well, because he's in a human form now, that I can overpower him. Now, he thinks that about us every single day. Because in our human form, Satan, a lot of times it's pretty easy for him to overpower, tempt us, and take us away from God's work. So I think this is what was happening here, that Jesus had assumed this human nature, and Satan was hoping that he could appeal to that human persona and thus cause him to sin. Now, this was a kind of a power play going on here. And, we'll read on to what some of these temptations were, but you have to think that a common human, but a lowly human, maybe, person, would surely be tempted by what it was that Satan offered our Lord and Savior during this period of time. But what Satan didn't know was that even though Jesus was in this human body, that his divine nature could not be tempted to sin. That's where Satan just didn't understand exactly what all was happening here. Now, 40 days and 40 nights he fasted, he didn't eat. So you know he was hungry. Satan came at him first with the temptation of being hungry. Now, I have said this before, and I guess many of you have heard it, and you may have said it yourself. Satan knows what our weaknesses are. He knows before you know what your weakness is. And there's no doubt about this. Now, Satan is an angel, though he's a fallen angel. But still, he was created as an angel. And as an angel, he has as much power as any angel. And that power is tremendous. You know, I'm a big believer in angels watching over us and being around about us, and the power that they exude from God. Even though they're just known mostly as messengers, I believe they're watchful and protective of us in all case, in all phases of our life, in acquiescence to God's commandment, of course. Whatever God wants them to do, they do. So Satan has that same power, and he's one of the most powerful forces in this world. But he finds out he's not the most powerful. So it says, he said, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, Jesus answered, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now that's a quote from Deuteronomy 8:3, if you want to go over and read that. So what we find here, that even though Jesus was weakened, I think, by hunger, at least his body was weakened, certainly his spirit was not weakened. But we find that there's something more important than this bread that we're talking about. The most important thing is the source of that bread. So we can fare all right on the bread, but we can fare mightily from the source of that bread. And that's where our our love, our joy, our power comes from, is God Himself, who is obviously the source of the bread. And that's what Jesus was informing Satan, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Now he's taken him to Jerusalem, and he set him on the highest part of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, here we have Satan quoting scriptures. And this quote comes from the 91st division of Psalms, verse 11. Now, Satan doesn't quote all of that, because the psalm goes on and says that this power to protect eventually destroys Satan himself. So Satan was kind of using, he was just kind of using the parts that suited him. And, there's a lot of people that still do that today. They use parts of the scriptures that suit them. They don't necessarily encompass everything that's in there. They'll pick out a verse or two, just like what Satan did. They'll pick out a verse or two, and they'll quote it for their behalf, for their own benefit, you might say. I've been involved over the years with that happening many a time. People just wanting to use part of the scriptures. And so you find that that's how they can get by with what their beliefs. It's just like I told y'all before about the secretary I once had. She wanted to find a church that agreed with her beliefs. And most of her beliefs were centered around partying and drinking. Well, she quoted scriptures which kind of said that wasn't so bad. And then she actually found a church that believed that believed that partying and drinking was all right, done obviously in moderation. So she was happy. But that's what makes people happy, is to pick out these few scriptures that suit them, that make them feel good. I listened, I don't know if anybody watched this morning, but I saw Brother Forshee on the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour. And Brother Forshee was mentioning along these same lines that people talk about the God of love and the God of peace, and they all feel good about it. But nobody talks about the God of wrath. And that's as much a part of his being as a God of love and a God of peace is. But people want to separate that, and they don't want to talk about that. Even though the scriptures talk about it from Genesis, the Revelations talks about or hints at or discusses the wrath of God. But it makes people, that don't make people feel good to talk about his wrath. So all they want to do is present you with his love and his peace. And surely he would not send somebody off into hell because he loves his creation. I mean, that's kind of the line that they take. So anyway, that's what Satan did here. Satan quoted a scripture from Psalms. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, that's taken from the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, 16th verse. So, now we find, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, this is kind of what I was talking about. This is kind of what I was talking about earlier. See, I don't think Satan understood this Jesus that he was conversing with. Didn't understand him being in his human nature as opposed to his divine nature. And he was thinking, his thought process was that he could tempt the human nature. But finally realizing that Jesus' divine nature far overpowers the human nature that he had assumed at this point in time. And so it says, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And that's a quote, another quote from Deuteronomy, 6th chapter, and the 13th verse. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, this was a one-time occurrence, at least as far as what we can find in the scriptures, where Jesus and Satan stood face to face with each other. And when Jesus told him to leave and get thee out of my sight, go away, I don't read any place else where Satan and Jesus ever had eye-to-eye confrontation anywhere after this. Although Satan didn't leave this world, he's still here. And he's still, just like we find in Job, he's still wandering to and fro. Now, he knows for a fact that he's not as powerful as God. He knows that. But he also knows for a fact that he is more powerful than we are in this body that we're in. He knows that. And like we was talking a while ago, speaking a while ago, he also knows what our biggest weaknesses are and where to hit us in those weaknesses, whenever and wherever that might be. So what we need to take from this is that Satan is one of the most powerful forces in this world. And we obviously have no power against Satan and his angels and his minions only thing that we have is God himself. And it's only through God and God's power that we can exist in this brotherhood here that we're in his church, and as brothers and sisters in Christ. He's the only way that we could ever exist in this form of doing this will of God, which I believe we are. I believe we are doing the exact will of God in this church this morning, as in other of God's churches, wherever they might be located. But I also guarantee you this, we may be sitting here as a brotherhood, brothers and sisters together in Christ, but Satan is here too. Make no doubt about it, Satan is here also. And it will always be here until the end of time, when God will once again pour out his power on this world, destroy everything that he ever created, and cast Satan off into it in everlasting fire. Cast him into hell. And we won't no longer have any worries from him. We'll be free of it. I don't even know how that is, to be free of Satan's influence. I mean, the last time I feel that I was free of Satan's influence, I was just an infant and didn't know the difference. But for the vast majority of my life, Satan has been there in my way, me stumbling along around with him and trying my best and failing so much, so many times, to be what God would have me to be. And I have failed that in so many forms and fashions that I don't even know why God puts up with me sometimes, because he's just such a long-suffering and loving God. It just amazes me how good he is to us and how much he loves us and how that he can come in and comfort us when Satan is on our heels, when he is dragging us down and we don't see that there's any place to go. There is one place that we can go to, and that's to God, and ask for his strength. And he gives it to us. He gives it to us, and he will give it to us each and every time that we approach him and ask him for help in this matter. Only through that dependence on God can we overpower Satan and what his influence in his life. Now, had Satan been able to influence Jesus at this time, this world would be a completely different place. There would have been no sacrifice made. There would be no way of redemption. We would all be doomed to an everlasting hell had Satan been able to overpower Jesus. But Satan wasn't able to do that, and the world moves on. And Jesus was placed on that cross, and he died for our sins, and here we are today, still talking about that time, still studying about it, still basking in it, that here was someone who would actually go to the cross for us, for me, for you, for each one of us. He would actually go to the cross and die because he loved us, and he wanted to provide for us a way back to God from whence the fallen man came from. So Jesus had a face-to-face meeting with Satan and came out the winner. Now, the other time that he came out the winner was when he rose from the dead. There was no doubt about it in nobody's mind that he wasn't the Son of God who he said he was. So we find whose side we're on. You're either on God's side or you're on Satan's side. And you see the damage that Satan can do, because if he would ever even tempt the Son of God, just think what he'll do to you. Just think what he will do to you if you let him. I don't even proclaim to have the strength that Jesus had. But I know one thing. God knows what my weaknesses are. He knows what my strengths are. And if I will just humble myself to him, he will make me strong enough to overcome Satan and all the temptations that he brings to our lives. And I'm telling you, it's a daily fight. It is with me. It's a daily fight. And have you ever had just a stray thought go through your mind that was just bad? I mean, just something. I'm not talking about dirt or anything. I'm just talking about something that would be bad, that God would look down upon and say, "What? Sure not." That's Satan getting ready to pounce. And see, that's things that we can't even help. You know, our thought process, a lot of times we can't even help what springs into our mind. And if we let it take hold of us and grab us and encompass us, where would we be? Where would we be? Unfortunately, there's a lot of people today who are God's own people that have let Satan entwine them in the sins of this world. And they seem to be happy about it. They seem to be doing just right. And I know that's hard on us, those who are striving to try and do a little something for God, to see these people out here that are just shunning his word and fleeing from his cause and living a life that they seem to be enjoying and having a good time. But bear in mind, we don't know what is in store for them or their families. You know, that's something to think about, because we've got generations coming along behind us. One thing I find, though, that, you know, God said in the Old Testament that there was some sin that was doing and going on, and he would punish into the third generation, I think is what one of them said. Maybe the other one said, didn't he say the seventh generation or something like that? You know what that tells me? That tells me that we can be punished. For our children can be punished, our grandchildren can be punished, our great-grandchildren can be punished. But you know what that also tells me? He didn't say it was fair. So that's a merciful God there. So we need to understand what our place is in this scheme. We need to understand what Satan's place is in this life of ours. And we definitely need to understand what God's position is. And we need to lean to God more so than we lean to Satan. And that's, for me, that's not an easy thing to do. You know, sometimes you'll find yourself wanting to do something or doing something, and it may not be pleasing to God. And we have to be aware of it and be aware of the temptations that Satan puts before us and these stumbling blocks that we have. I got all kinds of stumbling blocks that are put in front of me at different times in my life. And it's difficult. It really is difficult. But God can smooth out those stumbling blocks. And Jesus withstood Satan. The angels came and ministered to him. And then he left there and he started his ministry. And he began teaching and telling them about his kingdom. And I'm so thankful that we here have been able to carry that message on, and that we will always carry that message on. And that message will reach out to a lost and dying world as sinners might be saved. So let's remember, Satan and his power, and we can't stand up against his power. But we don't have to stand up against it by ourselves. We can go to God, and we can overcome Satan. That's the odd thing about that. We think of Satan as this great big powerful being. God didn't even consider him to be that way. God's power is so vast and so great, Satan's no problem for him. We've just got to get in touch with him to help us, because Satan's a big problem for us in our life. He's a huge problem. And we've just got to make that connection to God to help strengthen us and give us what we need to withstand the temptations that Satan brings to us each and every day of our life. That's my lesson. Anybody have anything to say?
You were talking about the thoughts coming into your mind sometimes. I'm sure you weren't really pleasing God. I was reading, and I don't remember where it was. It's in the Bible somewhere, and it said that to control your mind, to have it under subjection, and keep things like that from happening, to study and do good works, to be doing service to God, and then kind of keep that in bay. And okay, there's where the problem begins, when you stop doing what you should be doing, and that's, you know, you get into those thoughts come along. So I deal with that.
I think we all deal with it.
But I mean, the answer is to stay in prayer and study and to do what God wants us to do.
And I think to also realize, Terry, that God understands that. I believe he does. I mean, thoughts. I had a preacher tell me one time. He said, I just can't understand it. He said, God has called me to preach, and yet I sit around and some of these thoughts come into my mind that he said they just flash in and they're gone. And he said, I just don't know why that happens. Well, obviously it's a process, that one of the processes maybe that Satan is using, but it comes fast. You can't stop it. You know, you've got this awful thoughts in your mind, and when they hit you, you cast them out. You can get rid of them, but they're there. And God already knows that. It's not like you're going to try and hide, you know, this thought. I really didn't think that. But yes, you did. But he knows our heart. And he knows we're trying. And he knows what a struggle it is. And it is a struggle. It is a huge struggle for us to do the will of God. It's much easier to do the will of Satan. It is a lot easier. And a lot of times it's a lot more fun. But that's not the route that God wants us to take. We can have fun in this world, and we can enjoy our life, but we need to be doing the will of God in all things, whatever it might be. God didn't put us here to be, I don't think, sourpusses and just dire old people that never can smile. I think he didn't mind us having fun, but we need to do it in a godly manner. One that he would be pleased with, because I think he's got a pretty good sense of humor. I'm still standing. Mm-hmm. So certainly he's got a good sense of humor, because I've stumbled many a time and done some things that I'm just not proud of. And he's let me live. He's let me live here. So we need to keep that in our mind. And like Terry said, the scriptures have a remedy for that. But here again, it's easier to read than it is to do. A lot easier to read than it is to do. Right, Terry?
It is. Before I pray, Bert, when I pray a lot of times, it's Lord, help me control my mind.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. Right. I hope you can keep all that clutter out of it, but you can't.
No.
You can't.
No. But you don't have to give in to it.
No, you don't have to ponder on it.
You don't have to. That's exactly right. You don't have to ponder on it.
Let it slide over there.
On its trip, you know.
Right.
Anyone else?
Well, these things that the devil promised Christ here, if God wouldn't do it, he hadn't done that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Well, no. Satan didn't have the world to give. That was just a... one of his ploys, and that's what I was going. That's what I said at the beginning. If it had been one of us, and Satan had, us up on top of this peak, and he said, "Everything out there is going to be yours," that'd be hard to turn down for us.
if I hadn't eaten 40 days, y'all would be some bread that brought me yard. Now, I'm not saying I could make the stone hit bread, but if he had loaf out there, I might have been awful dead.
I know, but see, that's us versus our Savior. That's, you know, because I'm with you, 40 days, I mean, 2 days and I'm ready, you know. It's a...
1 day I'm ready.
Yeah, it is.
I can't hardly go 4 hours.
We're getting time to say it all the time.
But, I mean, that's true. That's exactly true. But, you know, what would we do if we were offered the world and all the churches? And we could really have it. We could really have it. We could have more than all its riches and do away with God, or we could have God and nothing in his life. So, which would we choose? Evidently, there's a lot of people choosing the other way, choosing to have this world.
Jesus had nothing in this world.
Yeah. Right.
Brother, before we're converted, we have that enmity towards God in our heart. It's in there. We're born with it. Even after we're converted, he saves our soul, but he does not change this flesh of man. He changes the inward man and washes it, and it's pure as God himself. But we still go through this life with this same original enmity in our heart, and we have to depend entirely on God, because, like you said, we cannot confront him and overpower him. But with the help of the Lord, and I mean keeping your feet to the fire, the harder you try, the better you can do it. But the only way is through God, because we still have a natural man.
And that's why our natural body and our spirit battle so much in this world, is because of that enmity that's between the two. One of these days, that'll be done away with.
The resurrection will correct that. The resurrection will correct that.
One of these days will be done by that. Anybody else?
Think about the happiness that individual gets when he gets saved.
Yeah, right. But don't you wish you could keep that?
Yeah, be nice.
I mean, not your salvation, but keep that feeling that you had when God saved you. Don't want it to be great if you could just keep that. Well, one of these days, we're going to have that back.
That's right.
We're going to have that faith. One of these days, we're going to have that back. And we'll have it forever. I don't know how we're going to stand it. Sure. We'll just have to wait and see, won't we? Anyone else? Jimmy, would you dismiss us?
Thank you.